We're here in front of City Hall on a Friday morning with solidarity activists around El Salvador. And there's a press conference coming up. Can you introduce yourself and describe the event that's bringing about the actions today?
My name is Alexis Stambelis, and I'm a coordinator for CISPIS, the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador. Last Sunday, we read in the Salvadoran newspaper that the President of El Salvador, Antonio Saca, was coming to visit with the mayors of San Francisco and Los Angeles, and furthermore, that April 4th, which is today, would be declared the Day of Antonio Saca in San Francisco. Upon a little further investigation, we found out that that would be a mayoral declaration, and a lot of people put pressure on the mayor's office. So the mayor's office has now backpedaled and said that that was all a misunderstanding, that the day of, it wasn't supposed to be the day of Antonio Saca ever, but we will announce this as the day of friendship between El Salvador and San Francisco.
Okay, now important question here. For activists, it's easier to see what's going on when the Bush administration does this with all the globalized economy, the pressures around around CAFTA and the real need to silence any kind of dissent about this. But what in the world is the mayor of San Francisco doing involved in this? Is there any commerce or CAFTA-related things between these two countries, or is something else going on?
Well, everywhere the president of El Salvador goes, you know, he's trying to advertise what a friendly environment El Salvador is for free trade, which of course means suppression of union organizing, violence against activists. You know, they've shown that they can use this new anti-terrorism law against protesters who are trying to stop privatization. The particular importance of this meeting was that President Saca called Mayor Newsom, apparently, and asked to come speak with him to thank him for San Francisco being a sanctuary city. This is extremely important to Saca and to his Arena party because their major economic program is to export Salvadorans as labor. And he has to, for his president, you know, his party's presidential campaign, maintain good relationships with leaders in the United States to show that, you know, Salvadorans can come and work in the United States, that they won't be deported, because when, you know, El Salvador is in this kind of tricky bind, actually, because they're very, very close with Bush, but when the right wing and when the police attack immigrants and deport them, it actually backfires on the right wing in El Salvador, because that's where the majority of their money comes from. Remittances from family members in the United States is the single greatest percentage of the Salvadoran GDP. So they are desperate for Salvadorans to be able to continue to come live and work in the United States.
Okay, so actually some of the liberal policies towards not attacking Salvadoran immigrants in San Francisco helps the El Salvador economy, because that's where they get most of their money from, is people going abroad working. There's no money for people in El Salvador. So what does that say? It's just distorted relationships, I think. What does that say about the whole picture from where CISPIS and other solidarity activists are coming from?
Well, it is. It's a very complex situation, and I think one of our priorities as CISPIS, as a solidarity organization, is to show how working class people are similarly attacked by the same system. So it, in fact, makes perfect sense that Mayor Newsom would be meeting with President Saca, even though one's a quote-unquote Democrat and one is, you know, of an extreme right-wing party. They both are using neoliberal policies, privatization across the board. I mean, the city of San Francisco is being privatized faster than you can blink. And the similar process of seeing privatizations, private corporations, private public partnerships pushing development is happening all across the city in Bayview Hunters Point, in the Mission, and similar flip side is having to use massively increased police repression to stop the community resistance and the organizing and physically move people off of their land because they are not giving up, they are resisting actively. So the policies between Newsom and Saca are actually quite parallel in this way. Promote private corporate development and then use the police, taking money away from social services towards policing to physically, you know, silence people or kick them out.
Right, and the fact that Newsom can come across as somewhat liberal or somewhat objective puts us in a marginally better position because if activists are out all over the place, then they might back off a little. But describe the events this morning that you described to me off air when you tried to confront the situation.
This morning we tried to welcome Saka ourselves with a banner and some chants saying that he was not welcome in San Francisco because he represents the Arena Death Squad Party and the current level of violence, state violence, police repression, assassinations in El Salvador. You know, he's not welcome in San Francisco by any means. So we had called the mayor's office several times, had reporters call the mayor's office last week, and were told every time that the meeting was closed to the press, that it was private and closed to the press. But when we came this morning, there were at least four different camera crews from Spanish-speaking language stations who were all set up to have the big photo op with him and Newsom, invited into Newsom's office for a special, you know, I'm sure, shake hands photo op between Newsom and Saka, and we were escorted out of the building by the sheriff's office for trying to ask our questions of President Saka, which would be, why are 700 Salvadorans forced to leave the country every day in search of economic survival? Why has there been no investigation into the assassination this January of opposition Mayor Wilber Funes in the town of Alegria, Usulutan? I mean, these are the questions that Salvadorans in San Francisco want to ask the president of El Salvador, but that was not an option. We were escorted out by the sheriff's office, and so we're going to use this press conference today and a rally later at Saka's own personal press conference at the Hotel Fairmont to give our side of the story and give a voice to Salvadorans in San Francisco.
One more question. What sides of the story are you trying to get out in these events?
Well, we want it to be clear why is it important that Salvador, you know, we, of course, as believe it's incredibly important for San Francisco to be a sanctuary city, and we want full legalization for all immigrants and unconditional amnesty now. Why is it important for Saka? It's important for Saka because it's a smokescreen for the absolute failures of the neoliberal program in Central America, in El Salvador, across Latin America. He can only going to promote immigration without talking about the root causes of why should 500, 700 people have to leave every day? Why do they have to leave their home country? So we want to talk about what the root causes of those immigration is. And we want to say that he can't just come in here and have a fancy shake hands with Mayor Newsom without it being known to the city of San Francisco who this person is. He represents the Arena Party, which was founded by the architect of the Salvadoran death squads. And that policy of death squad violence, state violence by police and military, is absolutely still the program of the Arena Party. And we're not going to have San Francisco roll out the red carpet for him in any way. That doesn't represent the values of San Francisco. And the city, the mayor's office, certainly should not have any endorsement whatsoever of that kind of human rights abusing government. So we plan to roll out our own red carpet for Saka today, you know, with chalk outlines, blood, to show what's really going on in El Salvador.
Okay, great. Let's get to it. Thanks.